In Proverbs chapter 3, Happy New Year. And I talked to my dad. We were in Michigan, and my dad is going to be, in just a few weeks, 96 years of age. He tells everybody he's 96, so we'll just say he's 96 years old, and it's just easy. Now, I spent the last week with dad, and he said, I'm 96 years old. And he hadn't been out of the house for a couple of weeks because it was cold and snowy and icy, and so on. One day, Miss Bishop and I shoveled the walk and got it cleaned off, and then got him out to the car, and we drove to the local restaurant, which I don't know, 30 miles away or so, and got him something to eat. And he's there sitting in the pew, and he's sitting in the seat, and he sees this guy, this older gentleman, over at the table. I say older because he's older than me, right? And he gets up from the table, and they're eating their big steaks. It was kind of a nice place there. And Dad said to the guy, "How old are you?" And the guy said, "I'm 71." And Mrs. Bishop really thought the guy looked older than that. He said, "I'm 71." And I said, "You're just a kid. You're just a kid." And he and his wife laughed. And Dad pulled out a gospel tract and handed it to him. So Brother Parsons mentioned that in Sunday school. Why does God give you a 96 years? It's not so you can sit in the house and vegetate, so you can be a witness for Him. And Dad has certainly lived that out. So I said to Dad, what is the key to living a long life? And so my dad wrote the message this morning. So you're going to hear from a 96-year-old. He's going to tell you what is the key to a long life. I hesitate to do this. How many of you would like to die today? Okay. Oh, I was worried somebody was going to raise their hand. I would not have said that if my dad were in the room, because he misses mom just really severely. And he probably would have said, yeah, I'd like to go to heaven right now to see the Lord, to see mom. The days of man are, the Bible tells us, 70. A score is 20, so 70, 20, 40, 60, plus 10 is 70. About 6 months ago, I shared with you some statistics that said 93% of the world population dies before 65 years of age. So here's a question. How many of you are 65 or older? Look at this. This is the 7 percentiles right here. Man, you guys have made it. So what's the key to a long life? What's the key to living 96 years of age and having your strength? And Dad is stronger today than he was 6 months ago. It's really quite amazing. The phone is like on the other side of the house, and it's still wired in. He still has a landline. He's one of the few people that do. And the phone rings, and Dad's in his chair. He stands up here. Very purposefully makes his way over to the phone. Now, he doesn't pick it up. He listens for it to see who's going to talk on the answer machine. And if it's a telemarketer, then he walks back over and sits down. And I'm like, you know, Dad, we could run a cord over here and give you a phone right by your chair. He said, don't, my exercise. And so every time the phone rings, he walks across the house, and then he walks back. That might be key to a long life as well. So he's physically stronger today than he was 6 months ago. And mentally, he's a thinker. And he walks with God. He knows a lot about God's Word. What is the value of living a long life without Christ? Man, there just is none. Contrast the value of my dad, who lives his life for Christ. Apostle Paul, if you have not got your scripture memory passage for 2020, what year is this? 2026. It'll take me about a month to get used to saying that. You can get one. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said it is reasonable to expect that a person who has trusted Christ is going to live for Him. Reasonable service. So what is the key to a long life? There in Proverbs chapter 3, and let's pray. Father, help us this morning to be alert and astute to your word. For that person who is here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. For those that know you as their Savior, may we pledge in this first Sunday of 2026 to live every single day for you. Help us to do that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now you're already thinking, why would I want to do that? Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's why you should do that. Why should I live for God? For length of days and long life and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Most folks are familiar with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But very few people associate that with keeping God's commands. And verse 2, length of days and long life shall they add to thee. But there it is. It is another paragraph, but it is in the same vein of thought. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and do what? Depart from evil. Don't run to evil. Depart from it. Why is that? For length of days and long life shall it add to thee. I've lived long enough that now when I pick up the newspaper or see on the news, I see people, a lot of people are dying and they're younger than I am. My kids look at me and say, whoa. I gotta love kids, right? So what did they die from? That's interesting. Look at their lifestyle and see what they died from. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And you'll have better physical health, not just a long life. What good is it to live to be 96 years of age and just everything's just broken? And not because you're just getting old and you're getting tired and wore out, but because you've lived a lifestyle that has wrecked your life. And there it is. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Well, there's your money. And the first fruits with all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's part of stewardship. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Sometimes you go to church on Sunday morning and you think, why would I ever want to be a Baptist? They're always talking about doing right and sin and making me feel bad. And God says to the wise guy, and not in a bad sense, to the wise seeking person, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And then bookending this passage is verse 16. Here's that phrase again. Length of days is in her right hand. In whose right hand? Well, go back to verse, it's a paragraph. Go back to the beginning of the paragraph, which is verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Wisdom is more valuable than gold, than rubies, than fine gold, than silver. And wisdom will help you to have length of days. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Her ways are a way of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. There is a great, listen, you're going in 26, you haven't wrecked it yet, I hope. If you have, don't tell me. I don't know about it. Hopefully you haven't wrecked 2026. Sometimes people go into the new year and the first thing they do at 12:02 is they get arrested. Welcome. Happy New Year. That is not a good thing to do. Fleshly, there's a great danger in living the fleshly life. Imbibing in the spirits of what? Alcohol. What does the wisdom of Proverbs have to say about what? Alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. Disobeying your parents is part of the fleshly lifestyle. Paul addresses that to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now I hear moms quote this scripture and say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I don't think that's exactly what that means. But moms like to use that. A little bit out of context than my dad. But what is it? Listen to mom and dad. Young people, mom and dad say, that friend of yours, I don't think you should be around them. That place where you're going, I don't think you should go there. That habit that you're engaging in. And saying, you're nang. You should let me alone. Let me have my... And you shorten your life when you do that. You shorten your life. First commandment, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Paul, in speaking to the church at Colossae, said in the third chapter of the 20th verse, children, obey your parents in all things. It's going to add to your long life, but it will always also be well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so you can abuse your body. Drugs, marijuana. It's out there, and in some places it's free. Mrs. Bishop and I were talking to a young missionary couple, again, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we've known them for several years, and they're on deputation, they're in money, and we had traveled to where they were, and we had sat down for lunch with them, and they had just come back from Michigan. And we said, that's kind of where we hail from. I said, what do you think? And they said, it stunk. Everywhere we went, it smelled like marijuana. Not that we think the whole state is like high on marijuana. And, well, it's legal there. But it's not legal here. So, length of days are going to be elusive. The Bible say, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. Don't do dope. Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't do dope. No, that's not in one of the big ten, but Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, in the 5th chapter, he mentioned a whole lot of stuff. Now, the works of the flesh is not your friend. The great danger in living a fleshly lifestyle, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, shouldn't be cheating on your wife. Fornication. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. What in the world is that? It sounds like New Year's Eve parties where you're out getting drinking and doing dope and carousing. And then he adds a phrase to that, and such like. And that's for all the people that sit there in church on Sunday morning and think, well, that's not on the list. I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I did this, and I did these 5 things over here. But the pastor didn't mention them. Pastor Paul didn't mention my things this morning. And so Paul just, God had Paul write, and anything like that, and such like. As I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I had a young man, a young Christian man, talk to me a couple of years ago and say, oh, I'm reading in Galatians, does this mean that when you do these things that you're no longer saved? Salvation is not an inheritance. Salvation is the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. And so that's God's gift. But don't think that you won't lose some blessings along the way. Brian Rodriguez, he grew up in Guatemala. He's living here in the States, arrested several times, had a history of drunk driving arrests. And over the holidays, he got drunk and crossed the double yellow line and hit Jackie head on in her car. Jackie was traveling with her young child in the back seat, and the head-on collision had pinned Jackie in the driver's seat. She could not get out. She could not move. But the car was bent in such an angle that she could see her child who was in the back seat. And her child, Aria, was not moving. She said she looked like she was sleeping, but Aria perished. She died. And so Jackie is now entering a new year, 2026, without her daughter. Listen, are you paying attention? You can decide that you are going to live a fleshly lifestyle. You can decide that. And you can say, it's legal. Yes, it is. In the law. You can cheat on your wife and say, we're consenting adults. But it's still illegal here. Right? You can say, I'm going to engage in fornication. It's not criminal. But it's still illegal here. You can do that. You can do drugs, do alcohol, and you can go out and you can drive drunk and you can kill somebody. But here, when you do that, you say, I can do it. I'm just affecting myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're hurting mom. You're hurting dad. You're hurting grandma. You're hurting grandma. You're hurting the preacher. You're hurting the church. And you just kill a little girl. Aria. And you can feel bad about that. But you shouldn't do it. And such like. Of which I told you before, that they that do such things shall not inherit. There is that biblical principle of sowing and reaping. And you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6:8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, you can give the flesh a place in your life. It is not going to end well. It's not just a New Testament thing. In Hosea in the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. But you have plowed wickedness, and as a result, ye have reaped iniquity. It's an Old Testament concept as well. Proverbs chapter 1, we memorized that several years ago. Get your 2026 memory chapter passage, and you can quote with the preacher. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. When I called, and ye refused, I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of you my reproof. Therefore I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. Man, that's still a powerful passage of Scripture. What is that? You can sow to the flesh, but you should expect to reap a harvest of iniquity. Matthew wrote about that in the 7th chapter. And you shall know them by their fruits. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. So what's coming out of your mouth? A little profanity, a little off color, a little dirty, a little hatred, anger. That's because that's what's in the tree. That's coming out because that's what's in the tree. A corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. What do you need to do? You need to fix the heart. It's a heart problem. It's inside. Jeremiah chapter 17. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. As a partridge sitteth on age and hatcheth them, so he that getteth riches and not by right, you're a criminal, you steal things. He that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days. What is that? That's not length of days and long life that'd be added unto you. You're gonna die sooner. And so it's interesting, and you can go out and see a reveling type lifestyle. Who lives that? The rappers do. And just go to your search engine. I don't care what it really doesn't matter what you enter. Just say, at what age do people in the rap industry die? And you'll find 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, because length of days is not part of that. You want to live a long time, you want to live right, you're going to live for God. I say, preacher, I know somebody that they lived a vile lifestyle. They got drunk every single day, they're 106. There's always the exception. I think Satan just protects one of those people every once in a while just so you'll have somebody to look at. But I'll tell you what, that is not the norm. That is not the norm. You're a Christian, you know Christ is your Savior. Paul writing to you in Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world right now. And we should. You want to read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10? For time we will not. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We already quoted Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, which is not contrary to the word of God. How do you renew your mind? Right here, by this book, by God's word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. In love with the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Houston, Texas is in the news. They did a holiday crackdown. They assigned four deputies over a 48-hour period just to arrest drunk drivers. Those four deputies, in 48 hours, arrested 100 people for driving while intoxicated, just in one little community. I'm glad they got them before they killed somebody. Mrs. Bishop and I left here Christmas Eve night. We had our Wednesday night service. And then after the service, we left and went to Michigan. And I drive the whole way. Mrs. Bishop is like, are you okay? And she's asleep. I drink a cup of coffee and I'm like, I'm good to go. And there's no traffic on the road at the toll booth. There's no line at the coffee shops at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll just say, across Ohio, there was no coffee at the coffee shops at 2 o'clock in the morning either. We were halfway across Ohio about 2 a.m. What happens at 2 a.m.? Bars close. Looked up ahead and saw all kinds of flashing police lights and emergency vehicles, which is really unusual to see on the Ohio Turnpike at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mrs. Bishop saw the car. I did not. The car hadn't been driving 70. The speed limit was 70, so 75, 80. They hit the bridge at 80 miles an hour, 75. There was not much left of the car. I did not see the car. You want to know what the car looked like? You ask Mrs. Bishop, she'll tell you. I saw the person that was laying out in the road. And the deputies and emergency personnel, the rescue squad hadn't got there yet. They were doing chest compressions on him on the side of the road, 2 o'clock in the morning. Merry Christmas. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. It's a biblical principle. Want to live to be 96 years of age? Say, preacher, what were you doing on New Year's Eve? You reveling? At midnight on New Year's, I was asleep. But just for you that like to stand up and see the ball fall from the sky, I put in the bulletin the joke for the day. Anybody read that? And somebody said, I did not stay up till midnight because I wanted to welcome in the new year. I stayed up till midnight because I wanted to make sure last year was gone. So maybe you had a bad year last year, but aren't you glad you get a clean slate this year? What are you going to do with it? It's not about, I am not a New Year's resolution guy. Pastor, you make any New Year's resolution? No, I don't. Have you ever? I'm sure maybe sometime in my lifetime. We were not taught to make New Year's resolutions. We were taught the Bible. You're supposed to make daily resolutions. Paul said, I die daily. And every day, you've got to get up and determine, today I'm going to live for Christ. Today I'm going to live for the Lord. Today I'm going to do what is right. Today I'm going to do that. It's a day-by-day thing. If you do that every day, by the time the end of the year gets here, you're going to be okay. Live for the Lord. Live for the Lord. You sow foolishness, you reap corruption, you die early. Again, 93% of the world's population dies out. You can die with everybody else. That's not what I'm looking forward to in 2026. Well, preacher, we know everything we can't do. What can we do?
We can't do anything. We're Baptists. They have no fun.
You can pray. Pray. You're supposed to pray without ceasing. I can tell you, Dad prays. He's a man of prayer. That's what he said.
I pray for you and the people in your church, that would be you, every single day.
Wow. So here's a guy, when he's out, he's stopping at the table.
Hey, how old are you? 71, you're just a kid. Hey, here's this day I get to heaven. Only through Jesus.
Again, it was a pretty nice prophet, but telling people about Christ. What is he doing? He's old enough that he's not going out and plowing in the fields anymore. Got a lot of time to sit and think. You can get depressed, or you can pray. And he's a man of prayer. And you can't go far in the Word of God before you find that the people of the world understood they were needed to be people of prayer. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the fourth chapter of Genesis. You get there and you think, man, these people were praying. Yes, they were. Jacob wrestled with God, and David prayed three times a day. King David, writing in the Psalms, evening, morning, and at noon, an old preacher out of Texas, he likes to sing the song, the gravelly voice, evening and morning and at noon, will I pray, and cry out loud, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. Say, preacher, I wouldn't pay money to go hear him sing. I'll tell you what, you'd pay money to have him pray for you. He's a man of prayer. On the mountain, you'll find Elisha praying. In the dungeon, you'll find Paul and Silas praying. Multitudes of commands to pray. Promises for those who pray. Admonishments to pray without ceasing. Sadly, I was at a pastor's fellowship just recently, and I said to one of the men, this fella, his wife is going through a terrible time right now, and for the last month they have been on my pray without ceasing list. And I had preachers say to me, what in the world is that? That's not good when preachers don't understand what it means to pray. That means for probably every 15 minutes of every hour for the last 30 days, I've been praying for that family. Say, preacher, I want to get on your pray without ceasing list. No, no, you don't. Because you've got a life ending. You're probably in the next 30 days looking at heaven or some great tragedy in your life. That is not a list you want to get on. I can't hardly sustain that for just about 30 days. Why? Because somebody else has got an emergency and I'm about to write them and I think she's going to be okay and say, I'm moving you to my three times a day list and taking you off my pray without ceasing list. But we ought to be people of prayer. I mean, we just should. This morning somebody said to me, Pastor, I have two prayer requests. What are they? Yeah, write them down. You go on my office right now, you open up the door and you look on the desk, there's a little yellow piece of paper, because that's what I could find in the back, and I wrote those names down, and they're on my desk. Why? A reminder to pray. You don't write it down, you're not going to do it. Pray. Pray for one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The infant prays, help, help, I'm hungry. The veteran warrior on the battlefield, he prays. Because he's facing death across the line. The seasoned saint, 96 years of age, who is at home and can't get out and can't be at church because the roads are bad and the weather is bad and difficult walking, can pray and does pray and prays for you. Can you pray for others? We are to be an example of the believer in word and conversation. It is who we are. It is what we do. And it is what we should be in 2026. May God help us to be a church of people that pray. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Christian friend, will you let me pray for you that you will be a person of prayer in 2026? Say, preacher, that's what I want to be, person of prayer in 2026. Okay, all right, yes, wonderful, good, excellent. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, I pray that that would be true and accurate, that we as a church family would be people of prayer. And we'd have some daily lists, some three times a day list as King David and Daniel maintained. And that we would take the admonishment of Paul for some that are just going through desperate, desperate, desperate life-changing, life-altering circumstances, that we would understand there is a need to pray without ceasing for some. We'd be people of prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here, you don't know Christ. Would you let me pray for you that you would know Christ, His salvation, His forgiveness, that you could live a life with hope? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Slip your hand up. Let me recognize you and pray for you. Is there one here this morning that would say, preacher, I need Christ? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Ray de Guzman, would you take my place down front? God has spoken to your heart. The piano's playing. The altar is open. Will you come? Will you come and pray? You let somebody pray for you and with you.